Well, good morning. In addition to an evolution in breast cancer that I'm going to describe, I have to acknowledge that there was an evolution of this manuscript as we've worked. You know, don't leave a member of the faculty and graduate students with an opportunity of several months to not tinker with a document, and we certainly did. So I want to acknowledge those who collaborated with me and begin to talk about what we see is a very interesting pattern in cancer that is screening detectable with it in relationship to GIS that came to us through a number of studies that we sought hot spots for intervention, but regardless of our intent, every time we did an analysis at a different time period, we found a different hotspot. And trying to discern where the true sustainable risks are is much more of a challenge than we initially envisioned. Variation from place to place in the occurrence of cancer and in the utilization of health services is real, although it's not very well understood, and we certainly haven't effectively addressed it. Some of the variation reflects differences in risk profiles across populations that relate to biology, geography, behavioral risks, physical environments, social ecology, and socioeconomic determinants. And when we note these differences, it informs us about the etiology of the disease and the potential for controlling the burden among high-risk groups. Patterns of breast cancer, for example, are often attributed to a geography of affluence, regarding diets, reproduction, and related behaviors. And disease control efforts have often been based on understanding those individuals and those locales who bear those kinds of risk profiles. Variation, on the other hand, that is not readily explained by patient or disease factors may be an artifact of a community's capacity to monitor health events and/or deliver health services to the population. Evidence linking the variability of breast cancer incidence rates to the intensity of screening across communities is very strong, as is the association between incidence rates and trends in utilization of such things as hormone replacement therapy. So it's important for us to distinguish the effects of biology and demography from those related to patient preferences or healthcare system capacity to deliver services. And our present understanding of whether and how healthcare delivery affects the diagnosis and geography of breast cancer is not sufficient. This study offers an illustration of the dynamic nature of spatial variation in the incidence of early breast cancer. Using 25 years of incidence data from the Connecticut Tumor Registry, Connecticut is not only famous for being the center of the basketball universe, but for having the oldest tumor registry in the country. We examined where women lived when diagnosed with early stage disease in order to discern how the spatial distribution of cancer changes over time. Between 1985 and 2009, the Connecticut Tumor Registry identified 40,869 cases of locally invasive breast cancer. We aggregated these data according to 5 surveillance periods, 7 categories for age of women at the time of diagnosis, 2 racial categories, and 827 census tracts that represented where women lived at the time their disease was diagnosed. For each year of the study, the age-specific population at risk of white and black women was interpolated using the U.S. Census data files from 1990 through 2000 and 2010. And the linkage of case and population rate counts yielded race-specific and age-adjusted incidence rates for Connecticut by year. Temporal changes in early-stage breast cancer incidence rates were assessed using joint point analysis, a technique that characterizes change in average age-adjusted incidence rates using multi-segment line least squares regression techniques. Let's see if I can point to some things. So here we have the incidence rates, and here we have the joint point regression analysis for black and white women. Among white women, joint point analysis estimated 3 distinct periods of rate change, with incidence estimated to have increased 2.2% per year between 1985 and 1996, 9.2% between 1996 and 1999, and then a rather negligible increment of 0.02% between 1999 and 2009. For black women, joint point analysis was much more variable, 5 briefer, more volatile periods of time, a 1% increment between 85 and 92, a decrease of 5%, followed by an increment of 7%, followed by another decrease of 1%, and so forth. When considered against the background of mammography screening in Connecticut, this is the rate of mammography utilization based on interpolation of behavioral risk factor surveillance data, and hormone replacement therapy, which is national data on the number of prescriptions in millions, we see that the breast cancer incidence rates co-vary strongly with both. Increasing incidence rates between 1985 and 1999 in white women paralleled the expansion of mammography and hormone replacement therapy, as did the slowing of the rate increases and the utilization of those services thereafter. What I have here is the year of the 2002 report from the Women's Health Initiative on the adverse effects of hormone replacement therapy. And you can see both the precipitous decline in the amount of hormone replacement therapy reported subsequent to that period. We computed, using indirect age adjustment methods, incidence rates for each of the 827 census tracts in Connecticut for each of the 5 surveillance periods. Geographic variation of incidence rates was examined in each of the surveillance periods using a global spatial statistic known as Odin's IPOP and a local spatial statistic known as Kulldorff spatial scan. Odin's IPOP is a test of spatial autocorrelation that estimates the overall extent to which cases in relation to population density throughout Connecticut departed from randomness. By comparing what was observed with what was expected, IPOP analysis estimated the proportion of statewide variability attributed to the co-locations of census tracts with comparable population counts or case rates. So, to just give you a tutorial if you're not familiar with the techniques, the IPOP test asks for all of the incident cases, is there clustering of cases in terms of the proximity of a case to a case in relation to the underlying population distribution? So here are the case events. And the question is there a geographic variation that is distinct from randomness when you take the underlying population into consideration? Kulldorff's method is a local method. So what it does is it identifies locations. It draws circles around the state. It looks at the proportion of cases to the population within the circle versus outside the circle and identifies the location based on one of these circles, perhaps, this is just for illustration, where the within to the outside ratio of cases to non to cases within to cases outside the circle is distinct and identifies that as the most likely cluster of cases. So let me begin, and again, a little tutorial on what we have here. Here we have census tracts with significant age-adjusted early-stage breast cancer incidence for white women between 1985 and 1989. What we have here is a map representing the Kulldorff spatial scan statistic. The dark areas that are highlighted, there's 3 of them, represent locations where the incidence rate was lower than expected. The gray areas represent locations where incidence rate was higher than expected. Over here we have the result of the Odin's IPOP analysis, in which we are able to distribute the proportion of variation attributable to cases being within census tracts that are co-located with other census tracts with similar rates versus cases that are occurring because of the underlying population. And so Kulldorff's spatial scan statistic identified 5 locations where the rates were either excessively high or excessively low based on the expectations of what's going on outside of these locations. And Odin's IPOP is telling us that about 38% of the variation that was observed in the state overall is attributable to the co-location of census tracts with comparable case counts regardless of the population densities. So we can go through in great detail, but I would like to just move through quickly to show you how things change over the course of time. As we go from 1985 to 1989 to the next period, 90 to 1994, you'll see that the map changes, just to again illustrate how it does change. And you'll also notice that the proportion of variation among locations is also shrinking from 38% to 35%, indicating that increasing amounts of variability in the state is attributable to the population dynamics rather than to the occurrence of cases within the state. The underlying population density is accounting for more and more. Kulldorff statistic only identifies four locations. That large, lower than expected area over here dissipates. We identify a new location with higher than expected rates. These tend to be roughly the same locations. As we move to 1995 to 99, this is what the story looks like, in which we've identified only two locations now in the state where rates exceed expectation, and there is no place in the state where the rates were significantly below expectation. You'll also notice that the IPOP statistic attributes less proportion, again, to the geographic variation of cases due to the occurrence of events as opposed to the underlying population. So more of the variation in the state distribution by 1995 is attributable to population density rather than to the clustering of cases. We move on to the next period, and we see there's only one small area in the northeast corner of the state which has lower than expected incidence rate. Is quite low. It's only about 50% of what is occurring elsewhere in the state. And only a quarter of the geographic variation that Odin's IPOP identifies is attributable to the clustering of cases. It's more attributable, 75% of it, to the clustering of population. By 2005 to 2009, the trend reverses somewhat, in which we now begin to see this area resurface, this high incidence area resurface, and another small area over here. And the proportion of variation attributable to the clustering of cases rather than the population has now increased. So the story is one of decreasing heterogeneity in the state up until around 2004, and then an increase. This may be associated in many respects to the saturation of mammography screening and to the decrease in hormone replacement therapy, which is it was anticipated at the time of the Women's Health Initiative to produce an immediate change in breast cancer incidence rates. This is the story for black women in the state of Connecticut, in which a couple of interesting things are happening. Of course, Connecticut is quite a segregated state. The black population resides in its major cities and not many other places. And so we see, we would anticipate that clustering, if it were to occur, would be a much more complicated story to tell because the at-risk population of black women tend to be clustered in a few geographic locations. What we see is that over the course of time, clusters are emerging rather than shrinking as they did for the white population, and that the variation attributable to the clustering of cases increases significantly from about 5% back in 1985-89 to 26% in 2005-2009. So where we saw this trend toward greater homogeneity among white women, we see this trend toward greater heterogeneity in breast cancer incidence among black women in the state. So, in summary, geographic variation of the disease is real and it's complex, and we are far from fully understanding it. Where breast cancer is diagnosed goes beyond biology, behavior, and in physical environments to include aspects perhaps of where patients decide to receive health services and the kinds of health services that they receive. We highlighted two patterns that could represent a secular effect on breast cancer: mammography screening and hormone replacement therapy. Our data do not allow us to do a direct association at the ecological level between those because we do not have local breast cancer. We have local breast cancer incidence, but we don't have local breast screening rates, nor do we have hormone replacement therapy rates. So it is purely speculative. The study documented this dynamic nature of cases among both white and black women over this 25-year period, and it underscores the importance, we believe, of drawing judgments about causation and about the sustainability of these clusters without looking at the data over time. We found local variation in incidence rates to be distinct between the two populations of white and black women. We do not believe that the demography, the demographic changes, that is, in Connecticut's population were sufficient to produce these results. We don't think it was simply the movement of people around the state. The comparison of census tracts between 1990, 2000, and 2010 regarding things like population density, percent of persons over the age of 60, percent non-white women, percent below poverty, yield correlations between the census periods from about 8.83 to 0.96. And so we have a rather stable population in Connecticut, which is no surprise to those of us living there. Lastly, our findings highlight this dynamic nature of the study and the importance of linear panel studies. Single cross-sectional analyses may confuse our understanding of disease occurrence by neglecting to account for social context within which lifestyle, patient preference, and provider effects may affect our results. Serial analyses are recommended to identify hotspots that persist. Perhaps that northeastern corner of the state represents a location where we really need to focus disease control efforts. And so in closing, our understanding of breast cancer in Connecticut and our capacity to control it is enhanced by looking at longitudinal rather than time-specific locations. Thank you very much. Yes.
Do you think there may be any relationship to maybe the emergence or location of a mammography screening place?
That is a great thing. We have looked at that. What we have, it's complicated because location of screening facilities is so dependent on healthcare delivery systems, which are so rooted in historical locations, namely cities, that when we've looked at it, the story tends to be a disproportionate number of services in locations that have relatively low rates of disease, even though we would have expected it to be different, because minority populations with low incidence rates are living in proximate to many of our hospital and healthcare facilities that are offering mammography services.